come to the intellectuals, where we trust God to deal with certain questions which borders our hearts and is not yet clear with us. And we trust God that the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let us pray. Our dear Father and mighty God, we thank you for your mercy, the all-knowing, the all-sufficient. Father, we ask, Lord, this day that you will help us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Open our eyes, grant us insight and understanding that will bring about deliverance and that will bring about conviction much more deeper in you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, because we receive answers even as we look through your scriptures in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
All right. There have been certain deliberation on some questions, which we also noticed that it has been affecting believers quite very strong. About first and foremost, we have been hearing about scriptures. Everybody here, we read the scriptures. But what's this scripture? What's the scripture? What actually is the scripture? And also, is this scripture reliable? Has it been changed? Because we have heard some people say there's this Bible, it does not contain this book of this. We hear under this Bible that there is over other book, what about the book of Barnabas? We hear all sorts of things. And then it now looks as if there are different kinds of Bible. So is it still reliable? And then what about those books that are not included in the Bible that we use?
All right. Thank you very much. The Lord will help us again. In Jesus' name. Now, let me first put it like this, that faith is a big thing. Until there is faith, there is no understanding. Hebrews 11:2 says, by faith we understand. So, people are seeking for understanding outside faith. Can you read Hebrews 11:2 for us? If Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 2. You need to see that, you know, one of the things we are trusting God to do on the intellectuals is that it takes faith as the foundation for the revelation of all the mysteries of God. Yes, please. Can you read it?
Hebrews 11 verse 2 to 3.
Yeah.
For by faith, the men of old had divine testimony,
okay,
born of them and obtained a good report.
Is that Amplified Translation?
Yes.
No.
By faith, we understand that the world were framed
by the word of God,
so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible.
Now, if you check that translation, it said verse 3. Is it verse 3 or verse 2?
Verse 3.
By faith, we understand. So there are some understandings of God that will never appeal to your logical reason. It's not mental. Faith is in the heart of man, which is the spirit of man. So you see, by the time we talk, the foundation of every mystery we're trying to explain is, I choose to believe. It's a choice. You see, because the devil attacks that choice. It's honorable for you to be created as an agent of choice. You need to make that choice to believe that it's by faith we can understand. That's why in verse 5 and 6 now said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So it takes faith. You see, I discovered that everything illogical and unreasonable to the mind, through faith, they become logical, they become reasonable. Answers will be clear. Not because we are brainwashing people. Some people talk about brainwashing. Whereas it's the educational system of the world that brainwash. What you are accusing Christianity of is exactly what some people accuse Christianity of. Is exactly what the educational world is doing. Let me give an example. Just to open the floor for that. Somebody came to me and I think a philosophy student from University of Lagos in Nigeria. And then he said, why do you believe the testimony of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? Because what is written there is the gospel according to Matthew, according to Mark, according to Luke, according to John. And then he said, are they reliable? What if John was lying? What if John did not pull his record properly? What if John was doing something? I said, well, that's okay. That looks like a strong point. Then I said, all the people they told you about Aristotle and all of that, Plato, have you met them before? all the textbooks that point to you about their life, the history of what they do, their statements, is according to those textbooks also. How are you sure they are not exaggerating something about Plato? They are not saying something about Aristotle? You see, the same thing you are accusing us of as Christians is the exact same thing you practice. I remember there was this professor, Noah, that propounded the theory of a law. And then you have to quote him that according to, how am I sure? Was I there? Now, the same thing you accuse Christians of, that we blindly believe the Bible, you blindly believe textbooks also. And you blindly, without research, you just believe in your institution that they cannot give you fake things. Then you just have that natural belief that your institution, your lecturers are right. It's a form of belief. So somebody cannot be called a professor upon lies. And that's not, in the world system, you can be a professor upon lies. But there is a natural belief that Professor so-and-so is not legible. When we see a professor stand before you in the class, something you see, you have to honor him. He has proven his track record in knowledge and he has contributed to the world of learning. If not, he will not be called a professor. He probably has written a lot of papers in several journals. He probably must have had the track record, and then he has written theses and he has turned them to laws probably. He has propounded theories. You have a natural belief in a mortal man that will die and be buried in the grave. When we now put that same faith that you put in your textbooks in the school library, when we put it on the Bible, then you start questioning us. There's a rebellious spirit in you. That's what I say. When you see people asking questions, it's different from questioning things. Asking questions is, we seek to know. But to know, you must apply faith. Because the same faith we're asking you to apply is the same faith you'll be naturally applying in your classroom. For example, were you there when you were born? No. You were not conscious, of when you were born. They gave you the date of when you were born. And you believe. And you went everywhere announcing to something you never validated. You've seen people that doesn't know when they were born. Because their parents couldn't tell. I've met people like that. How old are you? Say he doesn't know. But my parents are illiterate. You are born to know your age and you celebrate birthdays upon what you are told. You have a natural belief. We now say, put that same natural belief in the book called Bible, then you have a problem. You have a rebellious spirit. Your teachers are rebellious. And people that are teaching you are rebellious because they are functioning under a negative spirit. Sometimes when people of other religion, maybe Muslims and all of that, ask these questions from us, the same goes to them. The same book called the Quran that you believe in, were you there when it was written? How are you sure that it was not doctored? The same thing you say the Bible has been changed. Do you know if yours has been changed also? And then I don't want to venture into that because we have proofs and facts about what people even say about the book of Muslims and other books. There are other sacred books. So the professor is attacking us. Muslims are attacking us. The government is attacking all kinds of people. And it's so, the most attacked book in the world is the Bible. It's the most attacked book. I want you to get this fact. I'm talking out of facts and records. It's the most attacked script and book in the entire world. If you know how many critics and things written, if you get to the world of knowledge, you'll be shocked. People have written books against the Bible in the library of the world today. Why is it the most attacked book? What's special about the book? That's for something special. No other book has come under criticism like the Bible. Even those within the church, so-called, are attacking it. So-called. And the most widely read book in the world is still the Bible. And the most widely circulated book in the entire world is the Bible. Every year, nobody has ever overcome. No book in the world has ever been able to replace it. And it's one of the drive of the entertainment industry, of the devil. And that's why they are trying to infringe into Bible writing now. The most widely spread book is the Bible. Now, if you understand that first statement that I made, that by faith, we understand. So, can we first agree that if you want an answer to this question, you must naturally believe in the script called the Bible? the way you believe your chemistry textbook to be true. Even though the things your chemistry textbook or your literature books or whatever says, history books, you were not there and you believe. Can you first find the natural ground in your heart and say, I choose to believe the Bible is the word of God? This is what F. Billy Graham. The guy came under a big question on his faith. And he said it was a big problem. Though a mighty evangelist, the doubting came. Can I rely on the Bible? Billy Graham said, he just decided one day and said, I choose to believe that this book is God's word. And that made him the man he is. He died at a very good old age, a man of integrity, who brought a lot of blessings to the world. So this is one fact many people don't want to accept. Many people want to understand by reasoning, through logic. But God is not logic. God is not in the mind. God is a spirit. To contact him, there must be faith ground. It is by that he then applies to your reasoning and to your logic. So can you do that in a minute? If not, then all the things I'm going to be explaining will never mean anything to you. All right. When you search John chapter 5 and verse 39, because that's where I'm going to quote from. I'll first quote from scriptures and tell you a practical application. John chapter 5 and verse 39. John 5 and verse 39. Do you want to read for me from there?
Yes, NLT.
NLT.
You search the scripture.
You search the scripture.
Because you think they give you eternal life.
You think they give you eternal life.
But the scripture points to me.
Does it? Now, what is the scripture? The scripture points to Christ. Anything that does not point to Christ is not scripture. Now, the Bible contains the scripture. The entire Bible is not the scripture. The word Bible is book of books, biblios. It means book of books. So if you say Bible is an historical material, correct. But the scripture is an inspired material. That's why in 2 Timothy, it says all scripture. Let's go to that scripture. 2 Timothy, all scripture. You see that? All scripture. Now, all scripture, do you have another translation there?
Yes.
It says so.
All scripture
is inspired by God
and
is useful
to teach us what is
true
and to make us realize
what is wrong in our lives.
Correct.
Are you seeing what when you are seeing scripture? This is what scripture does. What does it do?
It is useful.
It's useful to teach us what is true.
To make us realize what is wrong.
What is wrong?
It corrects us
when we are wrong
and teaches us what to do what is right.
Now, all of that is Christ himself. You can't know what is right without knowing Christ. Christ is the definition of righteousness. Until there is a regeneration in your spirit, you can't do what is right. Even if you know what is right, you can't do. So the scripture, King James said, there are they which testify of me. So every part of the Bible that testify to Christ and his life in a believer is the scripture. The Bible contains the scripture. And all scripture is written by the inspiration of God. You can't change inspiration. The second one is that, has scripture been changed? There's no power on earth that can change the inspiration of God. No. Now, that's why Jesus clearly taught, you search the scripture. They are they that testify of me. Now, you know that he was referring to the law and the prophets. As at that time, because none of the apostles have written anything, he was referring to, and even Paul in 2 Timothy was referring to. That's why I said, no New Testament teacher that teaches properly that would not teach from the scripture. Because even in 2 Timothy 3, the scripture Paul was talking about is not even New Testament writings. Epistles are letters built from the scriptures. Did you follow what I'm saying? Go and check all of Paul's letter. Many of his team discussion were built from scripture. The book of Hebrew was a writing from the scripture. And Christ says, the scripture, referring to the law and the prophet, they testify of me. So, the account of the gospel are eyewitnesses' account. The words of Christ, you know, King James put the words of Christ in red. Those ones you call scripture, because that's Christ himself, the scripture, talking. So you don't joke with the gospels, especially where Jesus spoke. Now, there are parts of the Bible that is not scripture. For example, devil spoke in the Bible. That's not scripture. You can't quote what the devil said and say that. No, that's not scripture. Men ordinarily spoke in the scripture. In this Bible, I mean. That's not scripture. In the Bible, you have the words of man. You have the words of the devil. You have the words of God, which is scripture. And you have the testimony of men inspired by God to speak what? That's the prophets. You know, the words of the prophet are not ordinary words. They are inspired by God. So all the things that testify of Christ, whether from the Old Testament, and what the apostles have said about him and what he told them to say, is the scripture. So the entire Bible is a book given to us. That's why you check the history of the Bible. Church fathers have to sit to reject some books, because some books are not scripture. They are just historical content. Those are the books you don't find in this Bible. For example, apocrypha means hidden. All the books they say that are not included in our Bible, they are the apocryphas. And the word apocrypha means hidden. So now, if you the Dead Sea Scrolls discovered in Qumran, the cave called Qumran. If you check those Dead Sea Scrolls, some other books discovered, like for example, some of the apocryphals are 1 Maccabees, 2 Maccabees, Tobit, Sirach, and all of those other books. These books, I read some of them. You will discover clearly their historical content. I've read through and then discovered that historical content about some happenings. And then the 400 period silence between Malachi and the time of Christ. Don't forget that the Jews are writers. So there will be books. In fact, if you start reading 1 Kings, 2 Kings from the Old Testament, even the Bible suggested that there are other books. For example, you hear in the book of Kings and say, the rest of the attitude or actions of King so-and-so, are they not written in? So when you check the scripture, as you read on, that's why everybody must do their best to read. You will discover the Bible even suggested there are other books. Go and read your epistle well. Go and read the letters of the apostles. That's why sometimes I don't just want people to be going to what verse. Sit down, note these things. So many people just want direct answer. They are not willing to learn, journey with God by faith. So the Bible already suggested that there are other books. Read to 1 Kings, 2 Kings, Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. You will see say there are other books. So already Bible tells you, the Bible is not a book documenting everything that has happened in the world between God and people. No, don't make mistake about that. The Bible is a concise book that points to Christ. Go and check it. You see that from the beginning of Genesis, the Bible is narrow-minded. When I say narrow-minded, it narrows down to one thing, Christ. So if you don't know that about the Bible, that's why you'll be asking questions. Why is it that it's not written in the Bible that thou shalt not? No. The Bible is not about the thou shalt not dance Makosa, thou shalt not dance Kelewu. If you are hearing us from outside the country, those are some dances in Africa that came into Nigeria, and then if you correct people that don't dance like this, they say, "Why? Where is it written? Show me. That's another smoke cigarette." They were not smoking cigarettes in that time. Tobacco was not part of the whatever. Alcohol was the major. And so God spoke against drunkenness. Aha! Clearly, God spoke against. So you will find cigarettes. There are some things that have been developed in our day now that you will not find in the scripture, because the Bible is not a book of documenting every happening, every thou shall not. That's not the essence of the Bible. The Bible is to narrow down. The Bible narrows down everything to the person of Jesus. That's why the law, the prophet, everyone points to Jesus. That's why Jesus said that they are they which testify of me. So the Bible is so focused. So if you are not ready to know Christ, you are not ready to read the Bible. And every answer necessary for man is already provided in the Bible. You are either learning through people that work with God, learning their words, and God packaged everything together for our learning. There are certain examples placed down in the scripture for our practical learnings. The Bible is a very, very wonderful book. A complete book of God's wisdom. Written to man to safeguard us from destruction. To abandon the Bible. Take note. When the Bible was taken out of schools in America and some other nations, disaster entered the nation. Wherever Bible is removed, you have removed every sense of rightness and judgment, correct judgment. And what you are left with is woe. What you are left with is destruction. So the Bible is valid. The inspiration of the scripture is valid. And there is no way you can find scripture except in the Bible. So when you are reading the Bible, you look for all that testifies of Christ. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All that the apostles wrote is Christ. Whatever points to Christ is scripture. Whatever does not point to Christ is not scripture. For example, someone is sitting in the Bible. David also has two wives. Does that point to Christ? That's not scripture. David marrying several wives is not scripture. Can't follow it. Abraham has two wives. Does that point to Christ? Christ himself taught that in the beginning he made them male and female. Christ is espoused to one bride, the church, not several brides. So, whatever testify of Christ, his life in a believer, his teachings, is the scripture. He said, for they are they which testify of me. If it does not point to Christ, it's not the scripture. So, if the scripture sins, not if, since the scripture is the inspiration of God, it can never be changed. To change the scripture is to change. Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot of the scripture will pass away. So it can be changed. Now, let's be careful for the rebellious people with rebellious spirits who will not submit under the authority that Christ is the Savior of the world. They cannot accept Jesus Christ doing what? You see, there's a rebellious spirit sponsored by the Antichrist and his spirit that makes people to doubt the Bible but believe newspapers. People believe sporting analysis of players of Manchester United that they don't know. And then we show you, you believe reports that you cannot see with your eyes, you cannot validate, and yet we come to the Bible, the rebellious spirit rises up. You need to be careful. Now, based on personal testimony, having worked with Jesus Christ now for several years, Bible is real. Because I have tested it, I have seen the practicality of every truth it presents. The letters of the apostles are real. The prophecies about Christ are real. Christ is who he says he is from the pages of the Word of God. So, from fact and experience, I can boldly say it authoritatively. It's not been changed. It's God's Word. God's integrity remains and stands. From the fact of history, I remember there was this in history, a man says they will stomp out Bible and Christianity out of the world. He was passionate about it. I've forgotten his name now. Passionate about it several years ago. As at the time I was reading that book, his house has been turned to a Bible distributing place. Because he himself died and his life was, I think, miserable. And at the end of the day, his house was bought and used as a printing press for the Bible. There are people that have said they will stomp out the Bible from the world. They are dead and gone now. The Bible is still here. And I tell you, no matter whether it is jihadists or wherever, that say they will stomp out the world, they can't, because God's word cannot be conquered. Till tomorrow morning, till he comes, his word abides. So the Bible is a book that will remain even after we are gone. You are only wise for believing in it.
Thank you so much for that. The Bible is reliable and it cannot be changed. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. But sir, I want to ask, what about the differences of record? You know, when you read a part in the scripture, it's saying this, and you read another part, it looks as if they are contradicting each other. Can there be error in God's word? And then another one, why are there many translations of the scripture, since the scripture is the inspiration of God? Uh-huh. So why is it that we are now seeing different translations? It should have been one, but yeah. How come we're having many translations of the scripture?
Now, thank you very much. May the Lord grant us light. Don't forget, we started from faith. You have to be by faith we understand. Now, you need to also note that, I just said it now, that the Bible contains the scripture. Because in the Bible, there is the writing of men. Very clear. Paul said, I said this, not the Lord. Very clear. The Bible is very open and plain. There are statements David made in the Bible. It was his own. His mistakes were not scriptures. Samson's mistakes were not scriptures. By the time they documented in Hebrews and they said, by faith, Samson did this. They didn't say by faith, Samson slept with Allah. That's not part of scripture. They only talk about his exploit. So you have to understand what is scripture. Scripture is in the book called Bible. Bible is an historical material, historical content. And then God protected the Bible because it is in the Bible, he's putting in scripture. So he protected the book. What we have now is called canon Bible. Canon means standard. There are books rejected because they are just historical. That's why it was rejected. It can't point to Christ and not be included. So there are historical content and that was rejected. There were historical content that was not coherent with the eyewitnesses that saw and walked with Jesus. That was rejected. So, and don't forget, today as many people are writing about many things, as there are newspapers of one event, if an event happened now, many newspapers will write. Believe me, newspapers will not write the same thing. They will write from their perspectives. Do you understand? Alright, so, when we talk about error in the Bible can never, scripture can never have error. It's not possible. Because the inspiration of God cannot have error. It can't happen. Now, from the historical stand, we discovered that Bible has gone through a lot. I studied and I discovered that for Bible to still be here, it's a big miracle. It shows this book is from God. I'm not talking about books people are afraid to spread. Like other books, you don't find it everywhere. Other religious books, how many do you find common in the hand of people? They are kept whether sacredly in the house, kept somewhere to be studied and read by sacred people. You understand what I mean? Check other religions. You see, I cannot read this book ordinarily. I have to go to a scholar. Bible is the only book that God gave you the liberty. Everybody can have. Everybody have chance. So, you have to understand that by historical perspective, Bible was copied. This is not, English is not the original language of the Bible. And so, Bible came from Hebrew and Greek. Aramaic, those are the three major languages of the Bible. Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. It has to be translated upon translations and then several manuscripts. Because if you are reading scriptures, you will find manuscript. So there was because Bible had to be copied from different people. Copied. It is in the copying we began to notice some differences. Like if you, some of the scholars along these lines of history, including those who are enemies of Christian faith, they wrote about the validity of scripture. We can go deeply into all that another time. I'm not talking about what Christians wrote. Even the enemies of the scripture wrote the validity of the testimony of scriptures. So, you need to understand that historically, Bible was copied and copied. That's how they write. But there was no printing press. So, people had to copy it with their hands. In copying the Bible, there were one or two omissions. And they are very, very traceable. That error is different from mistakes. And I love God. He preserved the mistake of men to let you know that man is fallible. It's only God that is infallible. Everywhere you have scripture testify of Christ, there's no error in it. For example, you have instances of, and this, some of these things that we talked about is in the Gospels. Matthew will say, Mary saw one angel. John will say two angels. Like that. Now let me ask you. Error is a distortion of truth. For example, I saw two men, I saw one angel. He did not deny the fact that angels were seen. Now, many people give account of his resurrection. Are you following me? Mary may be giving a point and say, we saw an angel. The perspective of Matthew, as he had it, that's what he wrote down. Take note of historical content. Matthew set out to write historically. Even Luke said it that I took it upon myself to write historically the things that I believe among. So you have to understand that this is an historical document. And the histories are validated because of the truth embedded in it. When you check even Paul that came later, the way he carried on the gospel, you will see that these things are true. The statements of Peter, from the book of Peter, the statement of John about him. You know, John is the only one that wrote from revelational angle. He didn't bother to go into to history. John just wrote directly from the revelational angle of who Christ is. It's in John you find some powerful things about who Christ is because he wrote from revelational angle. But Matthew wrote to convince the Jews. Luke wrote from research perspective. And Mark also wrote just to document the life and the miracles of Jesus. So you observe that in the copying, you have manuscripts we're copying. In today, why are we not having the mistakes prevailing? today, because we are no more copy. Machines can preserve what was before in the time. So you see that almost all the Bible that we're having now is the same thing. If you have a new King James now, is another, the new, is any other new King James that will come out is what you have in the former. It wasn't so before. Now somebody has said, how are we sure that they've not copied? And no, these are people who painstakingly copy. Now some of the writers are called the Essenes. But in, as believers and as early church fathers and those found in those ancient times were copying these scripts, Herod was not copied, because they have a strong value for the things prophet says. It was painstakingly looked into. If you know the battles and war that happened to Israelites, you know, Israelites are always bombarded. It's a miracle that the words of the prophet survived. During war, if you read your Bible, you discover that when they obey God, they will be at peace. When they disobey, Jerusalem will be taken. Do you know all those writings of the prophet were preserved by God? Some discoveries were even made at a later time. So we need to understand that it is this copying. And where, and go and do your research. You find it in the issue of Numbers. 2 here, 10 here. Especially when two books are reporting the same thing. 14 was found, something like that. But what is error? Error is that somebody said angels were seen. The other one said angel was not seen at all. No. That would be the error. Now, the mistake of men that we found there is that somebody said an angel was seen. Someone said two angels were seen. The truth is that angels were seen. And I observe also that when he says angels were seen, what did the angels say? They are saying the same thing. Two angels seen here said the same thing that this one said one angel saw. Go and do your Matthew, Mark, Luke, John study properly. And then you will see it. I really don't want people to pick, because those people that are confusing men, they just pick a verse. But I really want people to study. That's why when you are lazy to study the Bible, you will not. It was in my own study, I discovered, why is Matthew, especially Matthew, John, Matthew sometimes, Luke, you see the, I would say, discrepancies. And it's not in many instances. It's just in number issues and all of that. Two men, like for example, when Jesus was going to Jerusalem, an account says a colt. The other one says a colt and the ass. Do you understand? But if Jesus Christ will sit on one, will he sit on the two? He can't sit on two. So whether they found a colt and the ass, or they found a colt, somebody said the focus of that one is that they found a colt and they lost it. The other one said they found a colt and the ass. The point is, upon what will Jesus sit upon to enter into the upon one? So error is when he says there's a coat. This one says there's no coat at all. Do you understand? Error will be, this one says Jesus rose from the dead. The other one says he didn't rise at all. That would be error. So the things about the foundations of our faith, about Christ himself, has no error. But the things that deals with numbers, other reports, perspectives of people, and I love the Bible, because he knows that if man will share perspectives, the truth remains. He died. He rose from the dead. The grave is empty. He has ascended. He's coming back. Are you following me? But when we began to get to the account of people in the upper room, there's one that says, some say it's the upper room. The other says it's not the upper room. Holy Ghost came. Holy Ghost didn't come at all. So you need to understand what error is. And I want to tell you, even we that are questioning the Bible, if they ask us, all of us here, to report an event, including scholars of the high academic institution, they won't report it same way. So the Lord will strengthen us. On the issue of translation of the Bible, as there are languages in the Word of God must be translated in such a way that people can understand. We advise that people should stick with older translations. You know, Latin Vulgate was brought into the Wycliffe English Bible, and like that, we got to the King James that was later widespread because it came from European translation by the Elizabethan languages, and then were colonized by the English people, and the English became a powerful language. And so from there are different ways you speak English. There's American English, there's the British English, and all of that, Canadian, yeah, whatever. So English language is the most flexible and rich language, in such a way that look at how many English translations do we have now? A lot. Because there are different ways by which you can say the same thing. So the translations does not mean different Bibles. In fact, I will put it this way. The translation does not affect the inspiration of Scripture. Translation is a way to express and convey that idea. But for the sake of preservation, let us stay with the older translations. In this sense, King James or New King James. NLT is also very good. NIV is also very good. Now you will find issue of this particular verse is not in older manuscripts. This particular verse is not in older manuscripts. That's the issue of copying. Somebody copied and omitted. And go and check every matter being omitted. They are not matters that distort the personality of Christ. Whatever, take note that scripture testify of Christ. Whatever distorts the personality of Christ in the scripture is an error. And there is none that distorted the personality of Jesus. So therefore, the scripture does not have error because scripture deals with the person of Christ. All other matters can be historical content and all of that. See how much we can learn from it. The Lord will strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen.